Good morning to you all. We're glad you're with us. We've got guests, and we're honored that you've come to be with us. We're thankful for you. Hope if you find your time with us to your benefit, you'll want to come back every time you have the opportunity. I've chosen for just a short series of lessons. I want to do this morning and next Sunday morning and the Sunday morning following that. I want you to think with me about how could something that began so right end up so wrong? And I'm thinking this morning about Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. The gospel is preached for the first time. Men believe that gospel. And they cry out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now, I'm a slide ahead of you already and fixed to go to the third one. Here we go. They ask, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Of course, we recognize this is the chapter where the church came into existence on this day. And the question is, how did something that began so right end up so wrong? Or did it? Or did it? I want you to think with me from this chapter, and then next week we'll look at if it has gone wrong, what could have happened? And we'll look at something that may have happened. The third week after next, we'll look at it from another perspective. Maybe this happened. Maybe this occurred. But our question under consideration this morning is, did it begin wrong? Did it begin wrong? And I want to address that by asking you to think about two questions with me as we launch into Acts chapter 2. Number one, these people ask, these men and brethren, what shall we do in verse number 37? And did they receive an answer to their question? That's what I want us to consider. Did they receive an answer to their question? And number two, if they did, I'm not answering that question yet. I'm not answering the first question. We're not looking at that just now. If they did receive an answer to that question, did they receive the correct answer? Let's answer the second question first, okay? If they did receive an answer, would it have been correct? Well, we don't even have to wonder about that. We know that it would have been correct. I mean, I want to take you all the way back to Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse number 13, remember Jesus and his disciples are on the coast there of Caesarea Philippi. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they began to answer. Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're one of the other prophets. Jesus then asked them this important question. "Okay, who do you say I am?" And Peter answered, remember, "You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. That's who you are." And Jesus said, "You're blessed. You're blessed, Peter. You're blessed, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of Jonah. You're blessed because you didn't receive this from men. Men are saying this about me. You receive this from my Father who is in heaven, that I'm the Christ, I'm the Son of the living God. Now upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He then says, Peter, "I'm going to give you the keys to that kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Think about that with me for just a moment. Jesus says, "I'm going to build my church. And Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom." You know, I have some keys. I don't carry them in my pocket. I lay them down in the pew because they're so heavy. I have several keys. I have a key to this building. It gives me entrance into this building. I have a key to the camp. I have a key to that gate out there at the camp. I have a key to the buildings out there at the camp. They give me entrance into those. I have a key to my car. It let me in my car. I have a key to my house. And then I got some keys. I don't even know what they're to, but I know if I could ever figure out what they went to, they'd let me in. That's what Jesus is saying. Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. You're going to open it up and allow admission, show people how they can be admitted into that kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The English doesn't do a real good job of that, but you can even see it in the English if you'll read it. But especially in the original language, it's easy to see that Jesus is not saying, now look, Peter, it's going to start with you. And whatever you do down here, then I'm going to do the same thing in heaven. But rather, it reads like this. In the original, it reads like this. It's already been bound in heaven what you're going to bind on earth. It's already been loosed in heaven what you're going to loose on earth. It's already been done. And if you read even the English, you'll see it in that. You'll see it in that. Jesus is no doubt referencing what he will later talk to his apostles about. In John chapter 14, and in verse number 26, I think it is. There you go. John chapter 14, verse number 26. Jesus promises them, I've got to go away. But when I go away, it's going to be so that the Holy Spirit can come. And when that Comforter comes, which is the Holy Spirit, watch, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you most things. That's not what that says, is it? He shall teach you all things. All things. And he'll bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. The Holy Spirit's going to come. And the Holy Spirit is going to teach you. And as you take the things the Holy Spirit has taught you and you teach it to others, the things that you bind here on earth, they've already been bound in heaven, haven't they? They've already been bound in heaven. The Holy Spirit's just directing you and guiding you. It's going to cause you to your remembrance to be perfect. All the things that I taught you, you're going to have a perfect remembrance of those things. Later in chapter 16, in verse number 32, again, he talks to them about the Holy Spirit coming. And he says, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he'll guide you into most of the truth. It's not what it says, is it? The Holy Spirit's going to guide you into all truth. And so here's the promise. You're going to be binding things on earth. But it's going to be your opinion, Peter. It's not going to be what you think ought to be done. It's going to be what you feel ought to happen. Rather, you're going to be directed, guided, led, instructed by the Holy Spirit. And that goes for the other apostles as well. They're going to be doing. Now look at Acts chapter 2, how it begins. Where we're at. Look at how it begins. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together with one accord in an upper room. They're praying. And it says, and they, that's the 12. If you catch the context of chapter 1, at the end of chapter 1, Matthias has just been added. So there's 12 of them now. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, that's that promise Jesus made. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Now notice this phrase. As the Spirit gave them utterance. So they're doing the speaking, but who's directing what they're speaking? The Holy Spirit is directing what they're speaking. So would you expect the answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? Would you expect that to be the correct answer? Is that Peter saying? Now, okay, guys, you've asked me a question. Here's what I think. Here's what I'd tell you. Here's what I feel you ought to do. Is that the way this happens? No. The Spirit is speaking through Peter and the 11, and it causes these people to cry out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Did they receive an answer? Yes. Here's the answer. Verse 38, the very next verse. Here's the answer. And Peter said unto them. Oh, Peter said unto them. He's the one that's been given the keys to the kingdom, right? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Not in the name of Peter. Don't do it because I said it. In the name of Jesus Christ, do it. For the forgiveness of your sins. For the remission of sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So they get an answer. Did they receive an answer? Yes. Was it the correct answer? What do you think? It began right, didn't it? It began right. This is the correct answer, folks. It's the correct answer. If somebody right now should stand up right now and say, "No, wait a minute, David, I can't take it any longer. Tell me, what do I need to do in order to have my sins forgiven? In order to be saved, what do I need to do?" What would be the correct response? Would the correct response be the same one that Peter gave? Or would the correct response be for the preacher to say, "Well, now, that's what Peter said, but that's not really what he meant"? Would that be correct? "Well, I know Peter said that, but here's what I think you ought to do." What would be the correct response? If the question were asked today, what would be the correct response? I submit to you the correct response would be the same one that Peter gave. We know that one's right, don't we? We know that's correct. Because the Spirit, they were speaking as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the Spirit was the one who was guiding them into all truth. The Spirit was the one who was leading them, guiding them, instructing them, even uttering through their lips these things. This response would be correct. What about a response like, "Well, now that might have been correct back then, but we're living in modern times, and that's not correct now. You need to do something else"? Would that be correct? No, that wouldn't be correct. "Well, where'd you get that, Dave?" "Well, I think it. That's what I think. That's what I feel. The Lord spoke to me." Is the Lord speaking to me? Is the Lord guiding me the way he guided those 11? And he's not guiding any other man that way either. The guidance we have through the Holy Spirit comes right out of this book. So what would be the correct response? If the same question were asked today, what must I do? What must we do? The correct response would be exactly the same response that Peter gave there on the day of Pentecost. Back up one slide for me. Because that response is built on rock solid its foundation is solid, isn't it? Remember Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount, right toward the end of that Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, 24 to 25. You can read about it in Luke chapter 6. Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, right? It's not just a matter of hearing them. You got to do it. And does them, he'll be likened to a wise man. That wise man, he built his house upon the rock. Rains came, floods came, winds blew, beat upon the house, and it fell not. Why? Because it was built on the rock. Folks, that response that Peter gave, it's rock solid. It's rock solid. It's built on the teachings of Jesus. It's built on what he taught them. And the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. It's rock solid. But all other answers, I don't care who gives it to you, all other answers are sinking sand. Hey, that's kind of the words of a song, isn't it? All other ground is sinking sand, right? It's sinking sand. Every other. I mean, that's what Jesus said as he continued there in Matthew chapter 7. He said, but if everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them, for whatever reason, it doesn't make any difference why you don't do it. Maybe you say, well, I don't care if he did say that. I don't care if he did tell them they needed to do that. I'm not going to do it. Sinking sand. Well, I'm not going to do it because my preacher, when I grew up, my preacher taught sinking sand. Yes or no? Sinking sand. Well, I'm not going to do it because my granddaddy didn't do it. Sinking sand, right? Well, my mama didn't do that. And bless her heart, she's the best woman I know. My mama didn't do that. Sinking sand. All folks, all other ground is sinking sand. Because whoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not, he's like a fool. A foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came, wind blew, the floods came, wind blew, beat up on that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. But the answer that Peter gave, that's rock solid. Everything else, I don't care who gave you the answer. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much you love that person, how nice that person was, how wonderful that person was. If they give you any other answer than what we find in our Bible, what do we know about it? It's sinking sand. It's sinking sand. Notice with me, one more. What did they do? They're in Acts chapter 2. They asked the question, they received the answer. Now, did they do it? That's the question. Not all of them did. But how many did? About 3,000, right? About 3,000. Look at what they did. About 3,000 gladly received his word. You can think about that as being Peter's word. But could you also think about it as being the Holy Spirit's word? Because what was Peter speaking? He's speaking what the Spirit was uttering. Yes or no? He's speaking what the Spirit was uttering, right? Was Peter speaking the will of Jesus? Yeah. Yeah. They that gladly received his word did it, right? Because what did Peter tell them to do? Repent and be baptized. Were they baptized? Yes. What are they doing? They're building their house on that rock solid foundation. They're not building their house out there someplace on sinking sand. They're building their house on a rock solid foundation. And about 3,000 of them did this. We're ready. Next one. What did they continue to do? Okay, about 3,000 of them did that. Verse number 41. Look what that 3,000, about 3,000, look what they continued to do. And they continued steadfastly in what? In the apostles' doctrine. Now, where did the apostles get that doctrine? Was it their ideas? Was it their opinions? Was what they taught from the Holy Spirit? Yeah, it was from the Holy Spirit. So we know that's right, don't we? We know that's right. They received it from the Holy Spirit. And these people continued in that. And as they did, as the apostles taught them, they were teaching them things that had already been determined by God to be bound on earth, to be loosed on earth. It was the ideas and the opinions of the apostles. They were guided by the Holy Spirit in the things they taught. And so these people, as they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, of course it led to them being in fellowship and to them breaking bread, the Lord's Supper, to them and to their prayers. But they're continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And as they are, where are they building their house? What are they building their lives on? They're building their lives on the rock-solid foundation, right? Anyone who doesn't, what are they building on? Sinking sand. Sinking sand. So, my encouragement to us this morning is, my friends, let's go to heaven. Let's go to heaven. I had grandkids this weekend. Now, it's always been a good weekend for me. I have grandkids. I had a birthday this week. I just got to tell you this. It has nothing to do with this. I'll get back to my sermon. I had a birthday this week. My grandkids came to stay with me. Overnight, Maddie, she's a grandkid, like a grandkid. She spent the night. Then yesterday, those teenage girls, they want to sit in a room and do makeup. And, you know, that's just not my thing, okay? But I got a 9-year-old grandson. And so, Roger, we made whistles yesterday. I saw Roger. We were up there getting some stuff to make our whistles out of. At the hardware store. We need just a thing or two, make whistles. And we're out there, we're cutting those cane up to make our whistles and everything. And I'm sitting there, I'm whittling out a notch because I'm scared to death he'll cut his finger off. And so I'm whittling out a notch, and Reese says to me, "Papa, how old are you?" And I said, "I'm 64. And I just keep whittling. He doesn't say anything for a minute. And then he said, "Did you start at one?" I just kept whittling. I don't know how to answer that. I don't know how to answer that. But you know what? I took my grandkids to breakfast yesterday morning. And before we walked into that restaurant, we parked out on the parking lot. They ain't got any money. They're not going in there without me. So I got them. So we just sat there. And I prayed to myself that they ever one go to heaven. And I said to Reese out there in the shop yesterday, "Let's go to heaven, son. Let's go to heaven." Wouldn't it be wonderful if every one of us in here, that was our attitude let's go to heaven. In fact, there wouldn't be anything wrong with you turning to somebody sitting right beside you and with the seriousness that you, all the seriousness you can muster, saying to that person, let's go to heaven. Let's go to heaven, okay? Let's go to heaven. How? We don't have to wonder about the how. Jesus said, I'm the way. Didn't he? John 14:6. I'm the way. Build your life on my teachings by hearing them and doing them, and you'll be building your life on the rock solid foundation. It'll stand right on through this world. Whatever comes, it'll stand right on through this world, right on through the judgment, and all the way through eternity. Won't it? Let's just go to heaven. How? By building our lives on that rock-solid foundation. Now, I need to tell you, that's going to be challenging. That's going to be challenging. It's going to mean that I'm going to have to stop relying on what Daddy said. I loved my daddy. I love my daddy. But you know what? Daddy's not the authority, is he? Well, is he? I could go to hell following my daddy if he wasn't right. The only way he's right if he tells me what's in this book, right? That's the only way he was right. And he might be mistaken. He might be mistaken. But that's okay. I can read. I can study for myself. I can let Jesus be my teacher, can I? And isn't that what Jesus invited us to in Matthew chapter 11? Verse number 28, when he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Now listen, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now that could mean learn about me. But read it close. Or is Jesus saying, you learn from me. You learn of me. After all, whose disciple am I supposed to be? Jerry Riley's or Jesus Christ? Whose disciple are you supposed to be? Your daddy's or Jesus Christ? Your mama or Jesus Christ? Your preacher from years ago? Well, he was a great man. He wouldn't tell me. I don't doubt that. He wouldn't intentionally tell you wrong. But he was human. And he could be that he just taught something he had been taught. And the one before him had been taught that. And the one before him had been taught that. But what if anyone in that line of teachers departed from the teachings of Jesus? Are they building on rock solid foundation? No, now they're off out there in sinking sand, right? And so Jesus invites us to learn of him. Take my yoke on you and learn from me. And learn of me. I'm meek, I'm lowly in heart, he said. In me, he said, you'll find rest to your souls. Don't base your salvation, don't base your hope of heaven, the rest for your soul, on what some man said. Let me put it to you like, don't let any man send you to hell. I've had people get mad at me. I've had people get upset with me and leave the church. There's nothing more ridiculous than that. You're going to let me cost you your soul? That's ridiculous, isn't it? Don't let any man or any woman, anyone cost you your soul. Build your life on the rock solid foundation of Jesus Christ. And if David Riley loses his soul and you built your life on the rock solid foundation of Jesus Christ, I'll lose my soul, but you'll go to heaven. Now, isn't that what you want? I'm asking you, Isn't that what you want? So let's get off this preacher Ida stuff. Well, David said, David could be wrong. If David gave any other answer than Acts 2:38 to the same question, would it be right or wrong? It'd be wrong. It'd be wrong. But what if you took the answer given by inspired men to the question, what must I do? And you did it. You'd be saved, right? You'd be saved. And that's the way it goes for everything. Let's go to heaven. Now, it's going to be challenging. It is. It's going to be challenging. Because there may be things that we've been taught all our lives that we have to give up. There may be ideas that we've concocted from here, from there, from everywhere, that, hey, we got to give that up. We got to give that up for the rock-solid foundation of the teachings of Jesus Christ. And when we do, it's probably going to bring criticism from some. But had you rather be criticized from some now for building your life on the rock-solid foundation, or be praised by them now and lose your soul in judgment? Now, we want to build our lives on the rock-solid foundation of a thus saith the Lord. Here's what He says in His Word. This is what He taught. And now I know what He's taught, and I'm going to obey it. And as I do, I'm building my life on the rock-solid foundation of Jesus Christ. It's going to be challenging. It is. But it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. Won't heaven be worth it all? Won't it? Whatever it costs, it's going to be worth it all. And so I'm asking us, my friends, I'm asking us, let's go to heaven. Let's go to heaven. I'm going to try to do that. I'm going to try to do that. Every once in a while, I wake Beverly up. Hey, wake up. Got something on my mind. Oh, boy. I mean, I can't see her roll her eyes. It's a good thing it's dark. But I woke her up. I just turned to her and took her hand. I said, let's go to heaven. She said, right now? I don't know what she thought. No, I mean, let's go to heaven. It'll be the best life here and now, right? It'll be the best life here and now. And it'll all be worth it all in and then and there. Let's go to heaven. Okay? Deal? Let's go to heaven. That's how simple it is, folks. The world makes it difficult. Jesus made it easy. Jesus made it easy. Let's go to heaven. So, with my brothers and sisters in Christ, if there's something you need to give up, you need to repent of, you need to turn from, you need to turn to Him. We urge you to do that today in repentance. Let's go to heaven. Let's go to heaven. Whether or not anyone else changes, if I need to change, I want to do it. Let's go to heaven. For those of you who aren't Christians yet, I'm saying to you, let's go to heaven. Let's go to heaven. You say, well, I'm not sure I understand enough yet. Then we'll study with you. Just let us know. We'll study with you till you understand. But you're not going to get another answer more rock solid than the one given in Acts 2:38, are you? You're not going to get a more rock solid answer than that. What do you need to do? Repent. You're a believer? Then repent. be baptized. For what reason? The forgiveness of your sins. The forgiveness of your sins. We'll help you with that this morning if you'll just let us know. And you can let us know if you have any needs by coming to the front. Do that now as together we stand and sing.